Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Solo Cup. I'd like you to start in Psalm 16. It's interesting if you look at cups in the Bible. One dictionary of biblical theology says it this way: throughout Scripture, as in the ancient Near East, the cup functions as a metaphor for an individual's fate. So if this was what was going to happen to your life, let's say what was coming for you was in a cup, and I ask you, what's in your cup? What you drinking? What are you drinking? We ask that question, what you drinking? We're going to put something in there. But what if your future was tied to what's in your cup? And as it turns out, you can contribute to what's in your cup by either letting God fill your cup or letting the enemy fill your cup, and you think, well, no, he's not filling it, I'm filling it. Let me tell you something. If God's not doing it, there's not but so many options. Look at Psalm 16, verse 5. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or the place of the dead, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So literally here, the psalmist says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Go to Psalm 23. Great imagery here. Maybe you've never thought of it this way. Behold, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You get down to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. It's so full it runs over. So is your cup full of you, or is it full of what he's putting in it? And if it's full of you, you're in trouble. If it's full of him, and he is the one filling your cup, and your cup is overflowing, it means there's more than enough. He will take care of you. Now, this is one of the trickiest things to get people to understand. You say, but I have a plan for my life. I don't want to be without. I want certain things. I want to live a certain place, drive a certain car, do certain things. And if I trust God, what if he doesn't show up in the way I want him to show up? What if I walk around in the world's picture with an empty cup, barely anything in it? Your physical cup could be almost empty, but what if your spiritual cup is full? And what if what you have and what is provided for you is not provided for you by you, but by him? And your cup runs over because he's the one doing the filling. And he decides when he fills it. Now, I can tell you from personal experience, when I let Jesus fill my cup runs over. And I've had times in my life where I've said, Lord, you have got to stop pouring because this little brain and heart of mine cannot absorb anymore. You're making a mess of blessing here. It's almost wasteful because it's running over. I can't take it anymore. No one will ever take better care of you than he will. You say, well, I'm doing a decent job. I'd like to sit and talk to you about that. About all the peace, all the joy, all the love, all the fruit of the Spirit that you're experiencing doing it your way. You don't get all that. Does anybody know what cod liver oil is? Raise your hand if you know what cod liver oil is. Keep it up if you've ever had to drink some. Wow, I feel bad for you people. So there's an example. Someone puts that in your cup and says, drink it. And it's not a pleasant thing. But it might be for your good. And sometimes the very thing that God puts in your cup to drink is the thing that he causes you to say, I don't want any more of this. Thank you very much. One of the worst things I've ever had to drink, not just because of taste, but because of quantity, and I've shared this before, is that whole movie prep thing you do before a colonoscopy. I'm telling you, people, you do not want to be drinking that on Saturday night. That is not a pleasant thing. But sometimes what God puts in your cup is something to save your life. Go to Matthew 20, New Testament, Matthew 20, go down to verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify." Okay, so big categories: mock, scourge, crucify. "And the third day he will rise again." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him. So he said all this, and then look at what happens. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. So you say, well, but the boys put mom up to it. I don't think so. It doesn't say that. Mom's got something in her head, takes these two boys to Jesus, kneels down there, and has something to ask. And he said to her, "What do you wish? What is it you want?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." So now if you're them, what are you thinking? He's going to be mocked, scourged, crucified, and then raised from the dead. So as soon as he's back from the dead, he's going to be the king. He is the king. There'll be a throne. I want my boys on either side of you. Simple request. Typical mom. You know. Well, somebody's got, you know, you only got two sides. So why not my boys? But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said to him, now here's interesting. She comes asking, but what happens? They said to him, because he looks at them and says, "Are you able to drink of this cup?" And they said to him, "We're able. Absolutely. Sign us up." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." So I can't tell you you're going to sit on either side of me, but I can guarantee you this, you're going to drink from the cup. Now, what is the cup? You go back up to those words, mock, scourge, crucify. The cup in the New Testament, from Jesus' perspective, represents suffering. And he says to these boys, when mom asks about their seating arrangement, he says, "Well, whether you can do that or not, I will tell you this, you will drink of my cup." Now, I think this is where a lot of Christians lock down, is on this cup. Because you say, "Well, I did not sign up for the cup. I signed up for the crown. I signed up for heaven forever with Jesus. I signed up for comfort. I signed up for blessing, but I did not sign up for some cup of suffering." And all along the way, that cup is sitting there staring at you, and you get to a situation, and he says, "Okay, take a sip of it now, because this is suffering." And you say, "I'm not interested in suffering." So if you're not going to suffer, what are you going to do? You're going to do everything you can to prevent suffering. So you'll run the other way. You'll go back to something else. You'll do anything you can to suffer. But here is the problem. When we try to avoid the suffering that he has for us, we end up suffering anyway. Because we go make a mess of our own trying to avoid suffering, we bring on more suffering, and then we're in the same spot. He says, "Okay, are you ready to do what I had for you? Let's pick up where we left off." You can't get around this. People say, "Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus." Well, go look up the definition of that. If any man decides to follow me, what does it say? Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow him. What do you think the cross represents? Suffering. So your cross, you say, "Well, I'm not interested in a cross. Didn't people die on crosses?" Exactly. But you can't experience resurrection power until you're dead. But we don't want to die. I don't want to lose me. I like me. I'm interested in me. What about me? And God says, "I'm interested in you, but I'm interested in you being dead so that I can raise you from the dead and let me, him, me, live in you and through you so the world sees him instead of you." Go to Matthew 26. Now, this chapter has a couple of interesting things in it, at least. Matthew 26. And if you go down to verse 26, he's instituting the Lord's Supper, his communion meal, Passover together. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So he says, I'm not drinking any more wine until my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And by the way, people throw Peter under the bus for this, but look what the next phrase, and so said all the disciples. So they all said, oh yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, that. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. What does that mean? It means I am so overwhelmed here right now before any of the mocking, any of the scourging, even the crucifixion. I am so overwhelmed, this could kill me. So Jesus ends up out here. These three guys, Judas has already gone to betray him, so he's down to 11, leaves the eight, takes these three with him a little bit farther. He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. I need you guys here. I got to do this by myself, but at least stay close and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying what? Oh, my Father, if it is possible, what? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So you say, okay, I get it. I've got a cup of suffering too. I've got something I face too. I don't want to drink the cup that he has for me to drink from. So I'm going to go to him and I'm going to say, Father, if there's any way to get around this, then I want around this. And sometimes he says, you know what? I'll pour it out. Thanks for asking. You're good to go. And sometimes he says, drink it anyway. So what's in your cup that you refuse to drink? What's the suffering you refuse to face? Either of your own doing or God has just put that in your cup. This is part of your deal and you have to say, okay, Lord, I'll drink it. So what's the prayer again? Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That is a great prayer to pray, by the way, no matter what the circumstance. God, I got a plan, I got a reason, I got rationale, I got all these things, but beyond all of that, behind all of that, I'm asking you, no matter what the answer is, I want what? Not my will, but your will be done. Keep reading. Then he came to the disciples, found them sleeping, and said to Peter, specifically to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Dude, you think this is all just about me? What about you? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now you say, well, why don't people drink from the cup that God has for them? Because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So the spirit, we say inside, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But the flesh says, dude, we ain't drinking that. I'm not suffering. I'm not going to risk that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to help those people. I'm not going to give that money. Whatever it is that you consider would be suffering. Keep reading. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed. And what does he pray? It's the same thing. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, you say, well, it's not the same thing. Look at it. First time he says, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He doesn't get a, it's possible, right? Goes back to his buddies, comes back a second time. This time he says, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. So now he's yielding. If it can't pass away, now I'm willing for your will to be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. In other words, he realizes the answer's not going to change. Now, let me go back to the cod liver oil. Fill up a cup, cod liver oil, and mama says, drink this. And you say, mama, there's got to be another way. Please, mama. I beg you, mama. Please, there has to be another way. There's no other way. Drink it. Let me go talk to my boys a minute. I'll be right back. Please, mama. I realize there's probably not a way. You're thinking through it. You know what's coming. So you say, well, these are not casual things. No, whatever is in the cup that represents suffering for you, sure, you can struggle with it, but sooner or later, what do you have to do? You've got to drink. You've got to say, okay, this is it. There's no way around it. You say, well, that's going to be terrible. The only thing worse than not drinking the cup that he has for you is walking away from it and then living that life. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See my betrayer's hand. So he's like, okay, game on. I'll drink it. Go to John chapter 18. Now, this is kind of picks up where we just left off, but over here in John. Verse 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. So he prays in the garden. Detachment of troops. Then Judas, verse 3, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who was betraying him, also stood with him. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, he's packing, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, look what he says to Peter. Now, where has he just been? In the garden with Peter and the two brothers and the eight and all of them all sleeping, and Jesus having the conversation with his father, and Peter is going to stop it. And Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my father has given me? There's no way around it. We're not going to fight our way out of this. There is no way around it but to drink it. Now, this specific cup that I'm reading to you here is a solo cup. No one could do it but Jesus. Only God and a man could drink the cup that the Father handed to him. And what was in that cup? Suffering. You say, well, what does that mean? Now, this is what makes people that I talk to at least very nervous. Every rape, every molestation, every murder, every heinous act, anything you can pull a clipping on, anything that happened to you or you've done, it's all in that cup. All of it's in that cup. You think you've had some nasty stuff to drink? That's what Jesus knew he was drinking. All my stuff, all the stuff of people from Adam and Eve on, people that have not even born yet, sins that have not even been committed yet, were in that cup. And Jesus says, I'll drink it. If there's no way around it, I'll drink it. Not my will, your will be done. And nobody could drink it but him. You say, well, that's horrible. Exactly. That is horrible. And why would he do that? None of his own sin was in that cup because he didn't have any sin further to be in there. It's all us. It's all us. All of us is on him by himself. Go to Acts chapter 12. A couple of more verses and we're done. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now remember what Jesus told the two brothers? They said, we're able. And he said, well, I can't tell you're going to sit on either side of me because that's not my call. But you will drink of the cup. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So what was James' cup Jesus was talking about? Death by Herod's sword. You say, well, I didn't sign up for that. Well, what exactly did you sign up for? Well, I want it on my terms. I kind of like the prodigal son story where I get everything that's coming to me and I go live like hell if I want to, and then he's got to love me anyway. And my question remains, and how is that working out for you? Well, so it's working out great because I live like I want to live. Then there's only a couple of things. Either you're running so hard, your consequence hasn't caught you yet, or you may not even be his kid. Because my God, my Father comes after me, and it is not always pleasant. And the cup of my consequence doesn't always taste good, but the nasty taste of my consequence is part of what says, Lord, I don't want to be filling my cup up anymore. You fill my cup, Lord. The cup is anything where you experience suffering. Something has to change. It's painful. Philippians chapter 1, a few pages to the right. Philippians 1, two simple verses, 29 and 30. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him. So you say, well, I signed up for believing. I believe. I'll sing your songs. I'll give some money. That's what I signed up for. It has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Now you say, well, I'm not out there looking for trouble someplace to suffer. Let me tell you, you don't have to look for it. It's coming. You say, well, I still don't get what you're talking about. Let a conversation come up about abortion, and what do you say? You say, well, Richard, that's some political thing. That's your opinion. Let me say this as quietly and as gently as I can. Killing an unborn person is not an opinion. You say, well, that's just your opinion. It is not my opinion. Go read Psalm 139. You say, well, I'm not taking a stand on something I don't believe. Then I'd ask you to ask yourself a question. Why don't you believe that? Some things aren't political, folks. Some things are just true. Oh, well, you're getting all political. And it's not always pleasant. You say, but all my friends believe this way. You know what? All my friends love me. My real friends, they may agree or disagree, but my friends are my friends. And the friends that don't agree with me that are still my friends say, in spite of our disagreements, I'm still your friend. You say, well, all my friends would ditch me. I don't think they're your friends. Revelation 14, you know I'll be done because I got no more books to go left or right. Now, before I read this, you might say, well, you know, I came to church or I turned on this podcast or radio, whatever it is. I listen, you know, I don't feel so good. Believe it or not, you might feel better after you get done drinking what he's put in your cup. Take the medicine. Suffer a little bit. You know why I drank that movie prep stuff? It worked. You say, well, why would you drink something so nasty, so much of it? Because that's what it took to do the test that I needed to find out if something was going on inside my body that would kill me. The end game is worth whatever you have to go through. Well, I'm not subjecting myself to that exam. Then don't be screaming at God when you die. Oh my gosh, I've got colon cancer. How did that happen? Well, the doctor told you to go do this, and it was, yeah, well, I didn't want to drink that stuff and go through that process. Then don't be shocked when you die of something. So the Holy Spirit moves through our hearts, our minds, and says, look, this has got to go. This has got to change. You say, well, I'm not changing. And then you go, well, I don't understand why these bad things are happening. You can't be so shocked anymore. And part of a message like this is to warn you. Now you say, well, but I don't want those warnings. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm sure there are preachers everywhere with longer nails than mine to scratch your ears, if that's all you want. But if you say you want to have a relationship with a holy God who demands holiness and wants it in our lives, then he's going to keep pushing and challenging you. And it's going to be painful. The flesh does not go easy.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Revelation 14, verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Very fascinating scene. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. He drank a solo cup of all the sin, all the wrath, so I wouldn't have to drink that. And ultimately, I wouldn't have to drink alone anymore. And whatever that deal Jesus was talking about, that he wouldn't drink the fruit of the vine until his Father's kingdom, I'm looking forward to that party, because it'll be done. I'm encouraging you, whatever your cup of suffering, you say, oh, but I got to drink it alone. You know what? No, you don't. You may have to drink it, but you don't have to drink it alone. You're not solo. You got us. And we'll help you get it down if that's what it takes.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.